The It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Welcome to It's Time for Coffee. I'm Jeanette Tapley, your host and internet bestie. Here on It's Time for Coffee, we will help each other find joy, sisterhood, and lasting friendship. We are all about Bible-based love and teachings to help us grow into the friends we long to be and to nourish the relationships that we already have. Now, I'm not a theologian or a Bible scholar. I'm just your pal, Jeanette, here to help you and encourage you. Join me each week as we sit down with a friend to be encouraged and reminded that we are heard, valued, and never alone, no matter what season we find ourselves in. So grab your cup, fill it up, because friend, it's time for coffee. Hey, welcome back to It's Time for Coffee. I am so glad that you're here. Today, we are talking all about money, getting out of debt, and setting solid budgets. I'm so excited to be talking with Jesse Fearon, and we are breaking it down all the way. I just love her tips and tricks. I don't want to prolong this conversation, so I'm just going to say, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. But y'all, I'm so excited to be sitting down with a new friend, Jesse Fearon. Jesse is a personal finance writer and coach who seeks to challenge, encourage, and equip women to take the steps they need to achieve financial freedom. So y'all, I'm just excited to introduce you to Jesse. Jesse, hey, how are you?
I am good. And thank you for having me.
I know that like money talk can be weird or boring or not fun, but I'm determined that we're going to have some fun today while we have some coffee.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So Jesse, first, what's in your cup? What are you drinking this morning?
I am drinking ginger tea with just ginger root, lemon, and honey.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh, and trust me, I had lots of coffee this morning. I would really love to have another cup of coffee, but I'm making myself drink my ginger tea, which is, it tastes good. It's just, you know, coffee is sort of my, it's my love.
Same. The other day we went to church and I had like half a cup of coffee before we went to church while I was getting ready and had another cup. Like I made another cup of coffee on our way to church. And I was sitting in church and I like text my husband because he was at work. And I was like, I'm feeling so anxious. I don't know what's going on. I'm like, man, I'm running through my week. It's making me feel real, just like a lot going on. And he was like, okay, well, like as soon as I get home, I'll help you. And we get home and I'm famished. I'm like, I had probably 3 or 4 shots of espresso on an empty stomach. No wonder I was an anxious mess. So I've tried to like make sure this week I'm like, let's go down to 2 shots of espresso a day. That's enough. That's plenty. So Jesse, I'm so excited. Will you introduce yourself a little bit more to us aside from your bio that I read and just let us know who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. Well, as you said, my name is Jesse Fearon, and my family and I, we are 100% debt-free, which does include our mortgage, and we did it all on my husband's salary of just a little bit more than $47,000 a year living in Metro Atlanta. And for us, it's always been about, you know, just getting very clear on our on the path that we wanted to have in life. For me and my husband to get together and actually intentionally decide and design our life and what we hope for our family's future. And from that, and from realizing that we were broke, we eventually took on the challenge of trying to become debt-free and eventually becoming 100% debt-free with paying off the mortgage.
That's so amazing. And I feel like we live in a culture where we spend what we make, we spend more than we make, and debt is just the norm. Whereas the Bible tells us differently, right? Like the Bible says, like, a debtor is slave to the lender, and those things, where we also know that like being in debt and having financial woes is probably one of the biggest stressors that we face. So as you guys walked this path of getting out of debt, what was some of the biggest stressors that you guys had? Was it keeping to the budget? Was it like the frustration of not being able to do some things because of your budget? Or what did that look like? And remind me, I think you just said it, but how long did it take you guys?
Well, from start to finish, it took us 6 years to total. So it took us about 2 years to pay off our consumer debt and then 6 years to pay off the mortgage from the time
That's incredible. Okay. So then now the next other question was like, what was some of the biggest stressors as you guys walked through that? 6 years is a long time. But on the other side, 6 years in the future is going to blink by.
Oh, yeah. It's like a drop in the bucket. You know, one of the best things that we've ever done for our family was become debt-free, because it like has literally freed us from so many things. I mean, we get to take our kids on vacations that we would have never been able to afford, that if we still had debt, there was absolutely no way we'd be able to afford to do them. And so my family's been very blessed by that. But some of the hard things for us when we're trying to become debt-free was sticking to the budget, was, you know, cooking dinner every single night or eating what we had at home. Sometimes none of us wanted to eat whatever was left, but, you know, we needed to stretch it and make it to, you know, that next, you know, pay period. So then we could go to the grocery store or whatever it was. And, one of the other things that was really hard too was that we didn't go on vacations when we were still in debt. We went camping and backpacking a lot, but we didn't actually go to the beach or have any of those really nice vacations. And it was really hard when I would be like on Instagram or Facebook and see all these like really pretty pictures. It wasn't even necessarily somebody on a yacht. It was just like they're just, you know, at a condo at the beach, and I'm like, I just want to sit on the beach and read a book and you know, and have fun too. And so that those parts are really hard. The comparison was hard because a lot of people, especially at that time, they thought we were crazy. Some people thought we were stupid for trying to become debt free. They couldn't even fathom why. They were like, this is so dumb. Why would you put yourself through this sacrifice for what? But now on the flip side, they're all like, wow, how did you guys do this? And I'm like, it was really hard. It took a lot of sacrifice. See, we had to live very differently for a long time before we were able to live this lifestyle where now we have this freedom of we take our kids on a vacation and we don't come home to debt. It's paid for. It's done. And we just get to move on. And it is very freeing. I know I keep saying that word a lot, but it just truly is so freeing. And what we were talking about with the Bible, I'm reading through Proverbs right now, and I can't remember which specific proverb it was that I read. I think it was Proverbs 8. But you know, it talked about to not indebt yourself, so then that way you don't lose your free will. And I do believe that. I do believe that if we are so indebted, we almost lose a part of our free will, of our ability to be able to make choices that benefit our family. Sometimes we have to end up taking that job that we absolutely don't want to do for whatever those reasons may be, but we have to do it because we have to make that monetary amount of money just to be able to survive.
Yeah, that's so true. And when we do that, one, I don't know, like I like you're gonna say free and I'm gonna say enslaves. When we have to do the things we don't want to do, we're feeling enslaved to like what we don't want to do. Like it's such the cycle. And unfortunately, it's not the norm to be debt free. It's not the norm to sacrifice. And so I want to know so vacations were sacrificed. What were some of the tangible things you did other than like staying home and not eating out? That's always such a big one. We have like a 14 and a 15 year old right now. And they're like, oh, can we just go get Chick-fil-A or can we get something? And I'm like, yeah, do you want to pay for it for the family? Like, sure. And they're like, how much? I'm like, well, if we're going to go to a restaurant, it's probably going to be $75. If we're going to go like Chick-fil-A or like Panda Express or something, it's going to be like $35, $40. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, y'all don't know. You don't know.
It's so mind-blowing, isn't it?
They're like, I didn't know it was that much. I'm like, so you can sit down and you can eat the shepherd pie I made.
Yeah, exactly.
That cost me $4.
And be grateful.
Right. Yeah, that red wine I poured in there was more expensive than the whole meal. yeah. So I just love that. And that's one of the things that we like to show our kids. Like, we're raising them now so that they can kind of see what life looks like outside of the four walls of mom and dad's home. So I'd love to know, what were some of the things that you did, the tangible tips and tricks that you guys walked through to become debt-free in those 6 years?
Well, first it was to make a budget and to actually work to sticking to the budget, which we still have to work at sticking at the budget today. Like, it's never just like something that like just goes on autopilot, because you never want it to go on autopilot. You're managing your money. You're paying attention to what your money is doing and how it's benefiting your future self. And that was one of the key things for us, was putting our current money in like the frame of, okay, what can this current money do for future Pat and Jesse? What can it do for the future? Where can it take us? And reframing it that way made some of those short-term sacrifices and some of those like difficult things that we had to give up a little bit easier, because we could actually see the direction that we were walking in. Other sacrifices that we had to do, I ended up walking dogs with three little kids in the Georgia heat. It was really, really not fun. But I walked dogs and picked up their poop, and I made money from doing that in order to go towards paying off debt. Lots of people thought we were crazy. You know, and we sold off a ton of stuff. Again, people thought we were insane. And we also, too, accepted a lot of hand-me-downs and freebies in the form of a crib. We needed another crib and a crib mattress, and we actually got one for free. We got a bunch of furniture for free. Did it look nice? No. But as anyone who's ever had kids, you end up learning really quickly, it doesn't matter. It's fine. Just go with it. And so these were things that for us were a bit of a sacrifice, because we didn't have the Pinterest looking home. I was having to do a job that I really didn't want to do. I didn't want to walk those dogs, and I didn't want to pick up poop. I mean, who wants to pick up poop? You know, and it was several dogs that I was walking that at one time that I would have to do that. And so it was just challenging to have to make ourselves do things we didn't want to do. And the big sacrifice for me actually was my car. I had a 2008 fully loaded Tahoe that I loved very, very much. It was my dream car, but it had a huge loan attached to it. And so my biggest sacrifice is that we had worked to save up just a small amount of cash, but with some cash to be able to go buy a car outright. And we were trying to find a dealership that would be willing to get the Tahoe from me for the amount that we owed on it. We eventually found that dealership, and the only car they had available on the lot for our budget range was a 2001 Toyota Sequoia. That I swear changes colors like a mood ring. It's this like purpley gray color. They call it thunder gray, but it's like, it's really purple. It has a bunch of rust spots on it, and I still drive it today. So it's going on 21 years old. And but it was a very hard sacrifice for me to make, because I went from this really nice car that had, you know, the built-in navigation, had the DVD player and the screens in the back, to one that the only really bell and whistle it has is a sunroof, and I can play cassette tapes, but that's it.
That's so good. What did walking through this teach you about contentment? Because so much of this is giving up what we want here and now for the hope of what we'll get in the future. I know Dave Ramsey says, like, live like no one else so later you can live like no one else.
Yes.
But what was your lesson in contentment?
Well, for me, I first had to learn the lesson of that I was putting way too much of my identity and my value as a person in the car I drove, which seems really silly, because I never had to necessarily have a brand new or super fancy car, but I wanted my car to look nice. I wanted to look good in it. That's how I felt about it, you know? And then all of a sudden I go from this really nice car to this car that's definitely not as nice, and one that humbled me greatly. Two, I cried a bunch about it. But then I also realized that by having this paid for car, it was allowing me to stay home with my kids. And in today's world, it's allowing me to stay home and be able to homeschool my children. And it still gets us from point A to point B. And it does basically the job we hired it to do. And I started to realize, like, if I just take care of this car, if I just take care of this car, it will treat me well. And it has been my car for almost 8 years now. And it's the same with my house. My house was built in 1979. And there's lots of times that discontentment rises up because I don't have a very big master bathroom. I don't have a big master closet. I don't have a lot of storage space in my kitchen. So there are certain items in my kitchen that you're not going to find that you would find in someone else's kitchen because I don't have room for them. But at the same time, if I look around, I can see things that bring me that contentment of the fact that my house being as small as it is, like, I get to hear my children playing. And it's so joyful, honestly, to hear their little sounds when they're playing. And, you know, just like the little nuances of my home that make it a home. And sometimes when we reframe that and we look around and we're like, okay, yeah, there's like these little things about my home that I love. Or my car or whatever it is that you're struggling with.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so good to know because sometimes we see experts like you and it's like, look what I've done. Look at what I did. This is so great. You can do it too. But it's like, here's the heart that had to change. Like, there's so much more to it than you. What you see is what you get. And so absolutely. I love hearing the heart too because it's so important for us on the other side to know, like, This was a struggle. This was really hard. And people did think we were crazy.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by...
Are you looking to take your devotion time a little bit deeper or get to know Jesus in a friendly way? I would love to help you. You should grab my book, It's Time for Jesus. It is a 30-day devotional, and it's kind of written like my journals for you to read, but it is a way for us to believe the truth of who we are right where we are, and it is a chance for us to lean into the friendship that God has given us. I hope that you'll check it out. It's on Amazon. It's called It's Time for Jesus. It makes for a great gift and a great way to start your mornings or just any time that you want to spend with the Lord because, you know, it's always time for Jesus. Okay, back to today's episode. I want to know, what does life on a real life budget look like? And I love that you said it ebbs and flows and changes all the time because we've done that in the past where it's like, this is our budget. And then we've like, you know, strayed from the budget and a year and a half or 2 years later or whatever, we'll pull out the budget and like, this is our budget. And we did that one time and it was like our boys were babies and we pulled out like the same budget. We're like, all right, back to it. And I think honestly, we had budgeted when they were little, like $150 a week for groceries. And now it is not that. I'm feeding 5 full grown humans and there's no way. And so my husband's like, why can't you stick to this? Why can't, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what happened. And he's like, I don't know. But it was like, oh, our family has changed. Yes. Our budget needs to change. And so I just absolutely. Like that you mentioned that. So what does life on a real life budget look like?
It looks like coming up with your specific priorities. Like each family has expenses that are priorities to them. I mean, obviously your rent or your mortgage, you know, and your basic living expenses, those are priorities for everybody. But we also have those priorities outside of that that vary depending on who you are and what your family values and the season of life you're in. You know, if you have little babies and toddlers, maybe for a mom, it's having that MOPS membership that's really important to her. The big thing is just figuring out what your priority expenses are, what is most important to you and to your family, and then from there, making decisions as a family and deciding, okay, these other expenses are not priorities. So what can we get rid of so we can make sure we have the money for these priority expenses, which also should definitely include your savings, whether it's you're building up an emergency fund or saving for retirement, you know, and then any other goals you have, like paying off debt or, you know, if you're saving for your children's college education, if you're saving for a vacation, whatever those other goals are, making sure those are in there. But by framing the conversation that way, you start to sort of almost go into an analytical standpoint instead of an emotional standpoint of, I don't have enough money, or how am I going to make all of this work? Instead, you can rationally then decide, okay, well, we have said these are the most important things to us. So how can we either eliminate or reduce these other expenses so we can make sure that we are, in fact, living our own real life on a budget, what we desire for our life based on our money, and how can we make that work around it?
That's so, so good. Do you guys do cash only, or do you keep like, because cash only was like real cool back like 15 years ago?
We have. So when we were first becoming debt-free, yes, we used cash most of the time. We now, so my husband and I, we actually share one physical debit card. It's a debit card that has my name on it. That was actually his idea. I always feel like I have to say that because some people are like, oh, gosh, she's so mean. And I'm like, no, but this was his idea. Not mine. Not mine. The bank doesn't even send him a debit card anymore. They just send it to me. But we do that because it actually holds us both accountable to what we're spending. You know, if one of us needs the debit card, because we usually I don't spend as much money, so I'm not as much of a spender. But for my husband, usually like I just give him cash during the week, and that's what he'll use to spend if he wants to buy himself lunch or buy a Red Bull or whatever he's doing for the week. He will usually use that cash. And so then if all of a sudden he needs the debit card, he's usually telling me, well, oh, I've got to, you know, go buy this thing that we need for the bathroom remodel or whatever it may be. And so, you know, that's how we kind of communicate with each other what we're doing with the money before we even actually spend any money.
That's so cool. I love that. Okay. When you're living life on a budget, how do you manage your time, or how do you manage what you can and can't say yes to? Because this is what I've done in the past. We set a budget. Then I can't, like, then we haven't made the allowances for girls' nights or coffee or anything like that. So then I'm like stuck at home doing nothing, sad and frustrated because I'm stuck on a budget, quote unquote. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Definitely sinking funds. Sinking funds are just this fabulous, fabulous thing of being able to actually make sure that you have the money to do those things. So, you know, like you could have your own sinking fund account that you put money into that you use for girls' nights or coffee dates or whatever is important to you. For me, when my kids were actually in school, I actually started a sinking fund for school stuff because we would always get those random emails like, yes. Oh, the classroom needs X, Y, and Z. We need treasure box stuff, or we need parents to do this and all this stuff. And then it like would be $150 later. And I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, now I gotta go redo the whole entire budget because I wasn't planning to spend that. So I set up a sinking fund just so I would have those expense, I would have money set aside to be able to accommodate those needs when they popped up. And also to gift cards. Like I've been using Swagbucks and Rakuten and Fetch Rewards for a really long time. And those are fabulous sites to be able to earn points or cash back on purchases that you've made. And in a lot of cases, you can cash those out for gift cards to be able to go and spend guilt-free on whatever you want to, whether that's Starbucks, Kohl's, Target, Amazon.
Yeah, that's so smart. I love that. That's such good tips. And those are mostly, like, I know Rakuten is a free site, right?
Yes. All of them are free. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so good. So, yeah. And this is where I'm like, see, if I spend money, I get. No. I love that. I think those are great. I feel like when it's made simple, when it is just like fluid motion of setting it up, do you guys set your budget up weekly, monthly? How do you guys look at that?
We do it monthly now, but when we were becoming debt-free, we did it weekly because my husband was paid weekly. And so we actually have what we call a budget meeting, and we have it every single week. Now it's like usually like 5 minutes long, unless if there's like actually something wrong, which is just kind of what we are discussing, like making sure that that week's expenses, that there's nothing all of a sudden that has popped up that is, you know, important and needs to be addressed. Otherwise, it's just whatever the budget says is happening is what's going to happen.
Yeah. What is the most common budget breaker that you see? Like whether it's like an emergency on your car or like what is the biggest budget breaker?
Believe it or not, it's the really small expenses that I see. It's the, you know, you walked into the gas station and you're walking out with a whole bunch of snacks, but it only cost you like $7, but it's like $7 you didn't have accounted for. And then that usually snowballs on itself until you actually have now spent not just $7 over your budget, you've now spent $150 over your budget. And that actually used to happen a lot with my husband because he would go in the gas station and buy a $2 can of Red Bull. And for the longest time, all he could think is like, it's just $2. Like, it's not that big of a deal. But when you multiply that by like nearly 30 days in a month, like, it's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We had like a legit coffee budget when we were doing this. We lived in Alaska. And it was like, here's how much money we will spend on coffee every single month, because it was one of those things that was important to us. It was, there was a reason for us to leave the house in the middle of the winter, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, so, but it had to be budgeted because it adds up so fast.
Absolutely.
So good. Okay, if you could like sit down with a friend, which is what we're doing, and you could give them like one piece of budgeting or financial advice, what is the one last thing you want to tell our friends?
Is just to get clear on what is important to you in your life. Like picture your life 5 years in the future. This is an exercise I love to do all the time is I will literally write down today's a date, but 5 years in the future, I'll write down how old I'll be. I'll write down how old my husband will be, how old my kids will be. And then I will picture what is my life going to look like 5 years from now when I'm XYZ age, my kids are this age. What is my daily life going to look like? What do I hope to have accomplished in this time? What do I hope I'm working towards in this time? What do I want that life to look like? And by picturing that actually, and then bringing it back down to current day, it helps to make some of these harder decisions on, you know, sticking to the budget and, you know, paying off debt and saving for retirement and saving for your emergency fund so much easier because now you have a tangible, yeah, I'm going for that vision. That's what I want. And you have that tangible target in place.
I think that's so good. So wise. So, so wise. Jesse, we believe that there's a season for everything under the sun. There's a time for everything. Right now, it's obviously time for coffee. But what is it time for in your own life right now?
It is, for me, it's just spending a lot of time with my family. I'm now homeschooling all three of my kids. And so the pandemic kind of pushed that on us, but I've actually found a lot of joy in this season. And, you know, people ask me all the time if I'm going to be homeschooling forever. And I'm like, I've now learned that it's just better to put it in the Lord's hand and say, Lord, you tell me what I'm doing because we've done all the whole gamut of schooling. And so now I'm just enjoying this homeschooling season for however long it lasts.
I love that. And it's such a beautiful thing to like, open your hands up to the Lord and say, okay, here I am, right here, right now. You tell me what to do next.
Yep. Use me, God. Use me.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, I love that so, so much. Okay. Where can we find you, Jesse? How can we like get everything that you have? How can we ask you to teach us more?
Well, you can find me online at my website at jessiefieron.com, and I am on social media at jessiefieron, and I usually do a Q&A session about once a month on Instagram, so if you have questions, money questions you want answered on Instagram, hop into my stories, and I will answer them for you, and you can find my book, Getting Good with Money, at all book retailers.
Mm, that's so awesome. Okay. I didn't even get to ask you much about your book. So before we quit, my favorite question to ask authors is, I believe that like we are counseled over our keyboards, like we live our book and then we write our book and then God like counsels us again.
Yes.
So what was a moment of keyboard counseling that you had as you wrote your book?
Oh, goodness. For me, it was recognizing why it is that I wrote my book. I won't share the person, but someone that I loved very dearly went bankrupt. And I watched that whole thing unfold. And it's very hard when they almost went down a very, very dark path. Thankfully, they did not. But watching that unfold was really, really hard. And feeling like I couldn't save them was really hard. And so for me, a huge part of writing this book is like almost like a way of trying to like, okay, I want to make sure that that doesn't happen to anybody else and that another friend or family member has like a book that they can literally just be like, hey, can we read this together or whatever and walk alongside them? Because if you do have somebody that you know is going through bankruptcy, keep in mind that it's very hard emotionally. They may not be showing it, but emotionally it's hard. So just walk alongside them.
That's so good. I love when our books help people that we wish we could, like in the way that we wish we could have helped then. Like,
absolutely.
It's really cool. So Jesse, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your heart and your passion with us. Thank you for being one to walk this out alongside us and to cheer us on as money minded.
Thank you so much. And so appreciative of you having me on.
So much fun. Okay, I hope that you loved meeting Jesse today. I know that there are so many things that we need to do in our family to get better with money. So I want to go out
I want to encourage you to go out and grab her book, Getting Good with Money, and focus on the importance of managing our money in a way that still sets us up for success. One of the things I love that she said and has stayed with me since we interviewed was that they have one debit card. We accidentally have one debit card right now because Jesse lost his wallet and we've just been passing my debit card back and forth, and that has held us really accountable. It's been really great. So I really love that she shared that with us. So I just hope that you'll check out her book, check out her stuff on Instagram, and yeah, I'll see you here next week when it's time for coffee. Okay, bye friend.
Thank you so much for joining us for coffee today. I'm so excited that you made time in your busy schedule to have coffee with me and my guest. If you want to connect on a deeper level, I hope that you will join our email community. The email community is a great way for us just to connect on a little bit deeper level. It's a place for us to email back and forth, to correspond about all things, and I hope that you will join us there. To make sure you never miss an episode, make sure you're following It's Time for Coffee podcast on your favorite podcast player. That way, each week when a new episode comes out, it'll pop right up in your queue and it'll be ready for you to listen to. And if you love today's episode, I would love for you to leave us a rating or review on your favorite player. You can just do that by hitting those stars or commenting about what you love about the episode. It makes my day and I read every single one of them. And I love hearing how we can meet you right where you're at. So thanks for doing that. And if you haven't already, go do it for me. I would appreciate it. Okay, friend, I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee.